It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Well, you might wonder, who is this speaking of? Well, verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 1 of John chapter 1 tells us that the Word was God. And in verse 14, it says the Word was made flesh. This is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world. He was made flesh and dwell among humans at that time. He was made in sinful flesh. He wasn't sinful. In John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning," who was from the beginning? Jesus Christ. The beginning of what? The beginning of this universe as we know it, as God created in those 6 days, He was there. And in fact, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ was the Creator. He is the one who created the world. Why and how? He is God. And you need to trust Him today. If you've never trusted Him, you need to understand that He is alive and He is ascended back to the Father right now. He's there.
The life of Christ. I would say that of all studies we find in the Word of God, this is the most blessed, the life of Christ. And especially as we study His life, we know that He was sinlessly perfect as He walked upon this earth. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He never sinned. He went to the cross. He died to seek and to save those who were lost. That's what the Bible teaches. His shed blood cleanses from all sin. We cannot save ourselves. It has to be through the blood of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we continue our study today in the ascension of Christ. And we've been looking through the life of Christ, and we've studied so far in this section of scriptures that we're looking at. And today we're looking at study number 19 of the ascension of Christ. We studied the fourfold purpose of Christ awaiting 40 days before He ascended. And we've also seen that the ascended Christ is going back to heaven. And we've also seen that He's not just sitting around, He's doing something. Well, we need to be reminded about where He is. Where is He? And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 10 through 12 that the Savior offered the once-for-all sacrifice for sins. Hebrews 10, 11 and 12 says, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice forever, sat down on the right hand of God." After the victorious resurrection of our Lord, He ascended into heaven and sat on the right hand of God the Father. And the reason the Bible uses the term "He sat on the right hand of God the Father" is to show the finished work. Remember on the cross He said, "It is finished." Well, He had finished what he came to the earth to do. He died for us. He died for sinful man that we could know Him as our Lord and Savior. Well, when He died, it was finished. The work was finished. And that is on this earth. Now, when He sat on the right hand of God, it was like a consummation. In other words, it's done. He's there with God the Father. You can't add to and you can't take away from the finished work of our Lord. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Mark 16, 19, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." Colossians 3, 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Hebrews 8, 1, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens." Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. It's finished. He's there. He's making intercession for us, and we're going to see that in just a moment. The Bible says that we too, those who are saved, are seated with the Savior. And how can that be? Well, once you've trusted the Lord, it's as good as done. God sees us as being there. He sees the finished work of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Revelation 3:21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." How do you overcome? You overcome by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The exaltation of Christ has taken place. Right now, if you are saved, Christ is your high priest, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. It says there, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens." Remember, he's ascended now. He's back there. "Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He knows what we're going through here. Verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He's your high priest if you've trusted him, if you're saved today. He's also your mediator. In 1 Timothy 2:5 it says that, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." No other person can be a mediator. No person on this earth, no human being is a mediator between you and God if you're saved. There's only one mediator, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody helping in the dispute, according, this is what this means as a mediator, it's someone helping to end a dispute. Somebody who works with both sides in a dispute in an attempt to help them to reach an agreement. As God looks at Jesus, he sees us. He sees Jesus when he looks at us, because Jesus died for us. He has become our great high priest. He's not only the high priest, he's not only the mediator, but he's also your intercessor if you trusted him as Savior. Interceding means the action of pleading on somebody's behalf. In Romans 8:34 it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God," he's ascended, "who also maketh intercession for us." He's an intercessor. Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Luke 22:32, in the first part of that verse says, "But I have prayed for thee." Jesus prays. He prayed for us even before he went back to the Father, and he's there now making intercession for us. He's not only the high priest, he's not only the mediator, he's not only the intercessor, but he's your advocate as well if you've trusted him as Savior. This is a legal term, legal representative, somebody such as a lawyer who pleads another's case in a legal form. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children," speaking to the saved, "these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Notice it doesn't say that you're never going to sin. As long as we're in this body, this is a body of sin. This does not give us a legal right to sin. It's simply stating a fact that until we have this body changed, there's sin. There is sin in this body. But thank God we have an advocate with our Lord, Jesus Christ. Let me read that verse again. 1 John 2:1. My little children. He's speaking to saved people who are not the people who have never been saved, but those people who have asked Him to come into their hearts. They received Him into their innermost being. They've trusted Him with their innermost being. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Our hope is in the risen, ascended, exalted, glorified King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is now preparing for us a home in heaven. John 14, verses 1 through 3, tells us that, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said to us who are saved today, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is Jesus, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Everything's laid out. Everything is placed in front of the people of this world. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He was refused. Man refused Jesus. And there's people today who refuse Him. Although they have all the evidences, they have the evidence of creation, they have the Word of God, and they still refuse to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. But He's promised to come again and receive us, those people who have been saved. He's promised to receive us unto Himself. Then we too shall be received up into glory, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I trust and I pray for you today that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have received Him today, are you living for Him? Are you doing what He wants you to do? Remember, we've studied in this section of our study of the life of Christ, how that He left commandments. And we see that He has told us to go forth and make disciples. Are you doing that? Are you in love with the Lord? Do you love Him enough today to serve Him? I pray for you. I pray that you do love Him. I pray that you're serving Him to the best of your ability today through the Holy Spirit. If not, He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's to the child of God. If you will ask Him, Lord, I know I've sinned. I know I'm wrong. I know I haven't been serving You. Lord, I confess that sin today, not to be saved because I'm already saved, Lord, but I confess that sin so that my fellowship can be restored with You and I can serve You as my Lord and Savior. If you're not saved, why not trust Him right now? Ask Him to save you. You can't save yourself. Realize that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ask Him to come in to your heart today, into your innermost being. Receive Him the best you know how. Lord, I receive You as my Savior. If you'll do that, Jesus will save you today. It's a good life. I'll be praying for you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer. Amen.